The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length, in much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you Mibin Chomot Yerushalayim, is Daf Nun Zayin, and we begin the Halak Perek right on top of the Daf. Bama Isha Yotza'a Ubama Ina Yotza'a. So getting on now to the next question, which of course is a continuation of all of the Dinim of Hotzah, and now we have an issue which is on one hand similar to the problem of the Yitziat HaBeima, which was we're not only concerned about things that are not considered to be for a Behima a Takshit or Malbush, which over there would be directly allowing the animal to carry, but we were also concerned that perhaps something will fall off, and then you'll carry it yourself because you don't want it to be lost. With a woman, we have an additional problem, even though in a sense we have a lesser problem because many things are simply takshitim. There are things, as opposed to an animal, a human being is mekashit themselves, decorates themselves. So normally we would say anything that she wears. What's the difference?
Like a bigot?
Yeah, yeah. And the same way you can wear, you know, your glasses on your face. She can wear a necklace on her neck and so on. So, the only problem is that there are things that may be loose and fall off, and then there are things that she will take off. That's a bigger problem. Because there's two reasons for a woman to take something off. One would be simply to show it off. She has a beautiful jewelry. She wants to show it to a friend, she'll take it off, and walk, meanwhile, without realizing that she's in Rishus HaRabim. Walking Arabam's Rishus HaRabim obviously is a problem. And the other issue is that she may, as the Gemara says, she may have to go to the mikveh. If she goes to the mikveh, so she'll bishlama, obviously she's not going to walk out without her clothes. But things that she had used to decorate her hair, things that are not essential, difficult to put back in, and so on, that she may end up carrying and forget. So therefore, we're going to see in our mission, Gemara, we'll go through each one of the cases. B'mai shayotza, b'mai nayotza, lo teitze isha lo b'chutei tzemer, v'lo b'chitei pishtan, v'lo b'rtzu'ot sheberosha. This brosha is going back to all of the above. So sometimes a woman will put decorative ribbons made out of tzemer, wool, or pishtan, or flax, linen, and other ritzu'ot. And we're going to see what this ritzu'ot Rashi says is part of a braid. Tosfos says if it's actually braided, literally braided, then she won't be able to take it out because you're not allowed to undo a braid on Shabbat. It's like big a braid is like binyan, so too is taking out a braid asur. But it's not literally braided, it's just held in place and so on, to make a ponytail or something like that. Velotit bolvahem, which seems to be a complete non sequitur here. What in the world? We talk about going to the mikvah in the middle of Shabbat, but as I mentioned earlier, we already know that there's a problem of perhaps going to the mikvah. That's why we mention this. We'll see. Velotit bolvahem, she cannot go into the mikvah wearing these things, achitarapem, unless she first loosens them in order for the water to be able to get into her hair. Furthermore, she cannot wear a frontlet or a sidelet, which is things that are... Well, how do they translate that in English there, your uncle Art? Do you have the place? 57 in the Mishnah.
What do they call it? Slaves, and why do you call it
head bangles? All right, I don't know. I would have thought there was a. These are. Yeah, all right, I see it here. Look, these are things that were very common. You see them in all the old pictures and decorations.
They translate.
I like that. He's taking up the old art school approach. So this was a frontlet that would run across the forehead, a decorative, like the tzitz, a decorative kind of... Yeah, that's right, the Yemenites still, and these they hang from the sides, which the Yemenite kalot also still wear, and that's the sarbitin. And this is only when they are not sewed to her hat. If they're sewed, she's never going to remove her hat, Rosh HaKarah Bim, because of the... Nice. Because of the problem of uncovering her hair. V'lo b'kavul. Now, we're going to see that a kavul is something like a yarmulke, which is worn underneath, either underneath the totefet part, which is to prevent it from hurting her, because it's made out of metal. So it provides a little cushioning. Or it's just worn as an additional, like a little yarmulke underneath her hat, so that it keeps her hair in place. Rishut Rabim. And why it says Rishut Rabim, Rashi understands that it's only us Rishut Rabim, but it would be mutter in the chotzer, but that's only a kavul, because we make an allowance for a certain amount of decoration. Normally, however, we ask her going out of the house with it. We allow her into the chotzer already, it's a lost cause. It's one gezeira. Don't go out of the house. You walk into the chotzer, you go out into Rishut Rabim anyway. The Rambam learns that all of the above are after Rishut Rabim. V'lo b'irshal zahav, famous irshal zahav that Rabbi Akiva gave to his wife, which is a picture of Yerushalayim, a map of Yerushalayim in gold. V'lo b'katla, and we'll see what the katla is later on. And lo b'nizamim, and not with nose rings. We'll talk about that also in the Gemara, difference between nose rings and earrings. V'lo b'tabat, and not with a ring, even a ring, she'ina le'achotam. Remember that rings in those days were most often business devices to be able to seal in wax or with ink, where we have seals today. And that obviously is not decorative, but for a woman, a ring that is not one that is a sealing ring, it's just a decorative ring, if it wouldn't be for the problem that she might take it off to show around or to loosen it from her skin in terms of tefillah, we wouldn't have a problem with it. However, we do have a problem with it, even though it has no chotam. V'lo b'machat she'in ha'nekuva, nor with a needle, even though the needle has no hole in it, and obviously is therefore like a hat pin, it's a decorative needle, it's not a sewing needle. Nonetheless, we're worried about her showing it off. V'im yatsa, on any of the above, since we're only talking about a gezeira that maybe she'll come to carry, then obviously she's not going to be chayevet anything. You're not chayevet chatat if she ends up wearing it in her begotim or in her hat or around her neck, whatever the case may be. There's really no problem. Ask the Gemara, what in the world is the Mishnah talking about tefillah? She shouldn't go to the mikvah. We're not mikvah otir tefillah. Man tachar shvak. You tell me who mentioned anything about tefillah? Omer Nadbar Yitzchak, Omer Rabba Baravua, Matamka Omer. The tefillah is mentioned to give you an indication of the reasoning of the Mishnah. Matam, lo teitzei ishal abachutei tzeber, velo abachutei pishtan. Why do we say she shouldn't go out wearing these decorative ribbons? Bipnei shamru chachamim b'chol. Since in general there is a rule, nothing to do with Shabbat, that lo titbol be'mach trape, that she's not allowed to go into the mikvah unless she loosens them to allow the water to be in contact with her hair. Since that's true, therefore she cannot go on Shabbat with them. Why? Shabbat, what they said. Maybe she will need to go to the mikveh, and then she will loosen these from her hair, and when she gets out of the mikveh, she's atilah to yidin arba abot Rishut HaRabim, she may end up carrying it back home in Rishut HaRabim. But in Rav Kahana, Mirav. Rav Kahana asks Rav, how about Tiki Chalilta Mai? Now these are, you see these very often, these are like woven, more knit kind of ritzuot that are hollow inside, and therefore if you start pulling on them, you can't pull them tight. Is there a word for it that they translate?
You said ribbons last year.
Yeah, but what are these hollow ribbons? There's a word. Yeah, there's no special word for it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? In a knitted, you see often in baby things that are knitted, there's a knitted cap, so the ritzuot that come off of it are hollow. They're knitted in a circle, so that if you pull them tightly, then they just stretch or are out of shape. But you don't stretch them under normal circumstances, and therefore there should be a difference between them and normal ritzuot, because ritzuot you could tie tightly, But the tikkun chalilta, you do not. So what would be the din? All my life, he said to me, you're talking about knit things that don't even mention the fact that it's chalilta. If it's orikamet, anything which is knit, lo gazru, because you never pull on something that's knit. It's loose, basically. And it's not a solid piece of material. Knitting is always, it leaves holes in between. So what would you have to take it off for? The water gets straight in there. It's not considered to be a chatzitza. There's no gezera. And therefore, koshu arig lo gazru. Itmanami amar avuna. There's another way in which this was said, as we'll see. And that comes out, that's where we bring this Itbar Nami. Ravuna Bered, Rav Yeshua said the same thing, that koshu arig lo gazru. There is no gazer on anything that was knitted, but others say it in a different way. Ikeni Amri, that what Ravuna Bered, Rav Yeshua said was, look, I can only tell you that chazin lachvati lo kapi alayo. I saw my sisters, they would often just jump into a swimming pool wearing this stuff, and they would never take it off. So apparently the water gets straight in, it doesn't bother them, they don't go into the warm water baths and so on, would be fine. Is that the same thing? No. Yeah, even the tanu. Because you normally you want the water to get through you with things that are loose. You don't mind. So my ika bin haklish bin haklish, is there any difference between saying it as a psak or saying it I saw my sisters? There is, sure there is. Ika bin haklish bin haklish, how about if they're dirty? Okay, so now, the question is, are we deciding this on a case-by-case basis, or are we deciding this as a general rule, anything arig lo gazru? So now, if they're dirty, obviously she's not going to wear them, if she's going to get clean or into a mikveh, because the moment she comes out, it's going to muddy up her hair. Then there's another reason to take them off. So in terms of a case-by-case basis, we'd have to say it would be osur, because she will take them off. If, however, we're going in as a general rule, we don't create our own gezeiros. The same way the Rabbanan said you can't wear a ritzua, so too you can't wear an arig that's dirty. Well, you can't make your own gezeira. If you're telling koshu arig lo gazru, then they were all gazru, and that's the end of the story. And that's the difference. The haklish nedamar, according to the way we said it first, that koshu arig lo gazru, there's no gezeira in anything knitted. So hakinami arug, this is also knitted. So it's dirty, so it happens to me. In this case, fine. But we're not going to make exeris for a special case of dirty knits. If it's all basically decided in terms of what the woman is feeling at the time, so given them to Nifil, since they're dirty, obviously she's not going to wear them. Nikdap kapit alayim, she'll take them off, and therefore we have our chashad, then maybe she'll carry them back home. We're talking about now chatzitzot. We're making the din dependent. Remember, there's two issues here. Things that are pretty, that she wants to take off, or things that need to be taken off for tefillah, shon mitzvah. So taking a look at the chatzitza, which is the issue, the first issue now that we're talking about, in terms of chatzitza, so it says in the dinim of chatzitza itself, in mikvaot, elu chotzitzim ba'adam, the following things are a chatzitza on humans. Chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, ritzuot shebaroshei habanot. The reason we say roshei habanot is because it's normally kids that we decorate their hair with little ribbons and so on. And, you know, we tie their ponytails and we make a little braid. These things are chotzitzot. Rabbi Yehudomer, shotzemer v'shotzeyar, ein chotzitzin, mivdei shamayim ba'im behem. If they're made out of wool, or they're made out of hair, for that matter, that doesn't create a chatzitza, because water penetrates those things. Amar Rav Huna, and Rav Huna adds, we're going to see Rav Yehuda, whether he's been chelek in two issues, tzemer and seyar, or whether the Tanakhama, since the Tanakhama never said anything about seyar, they only talked about pishtan and tzemer, it may well be that Tanakhama agrees about seyar. That we'll decide later on today. But Rav Huna says, look, you got to know that all of the above are referring specifically to heads. Broshe abanot shanino. Matkalav Rav Yosef added the heads as opposed to what? Tails? Lemute mai. I mean, we're talking about lemute ditzavar. You're saying not if it's tied around their necks? Made out of what? The mai. I mean, tzemer? If you're telling me that rak agabe kasher is chotzetz, you're telling me that I tie tzemer on my hair, then it's going to prevent water from coming in. So kolchkin, if I tie it on skin, it's going to prevent water. There I'm able to get a better contact. I mean, hair is really hard, and to say it prevents the water from getting on it is more of a stretch. So if rach agabi kashes chotzeitz, rach agabi rach biboy, clearly it is going to be chotzeitz. So he can't be saying only on the head and not around the neck. Are we talking about, therefore, that it has to be on the head if it's made out of linen? I mean, if even kasher agabi kasher is chotzeitz, so then kasher agabi rach biboy, it's the same kal v'chomer to me. El Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the question, realized at that point that he was making a completely wrong assumption. It had nothing to do with the material against which it's pressed. It has to do with the area of the body. Who ties something tight around their neck? That's the point. They don't want to choke themselves. The point has nothing to do with the material. The reason Ravuna was saying heads and not necks is the woman doesn't want to choke herself, because I'm going to assume that unless she's literally wearing a choker, as we'll see, there is such a thing, but unless she's wearing something like that, then you don't have to worry.
There's
always going to be enough space, and therefore you won't have to take it off. And note, says over here, very often, where you're not wearing earrings, you do want to wear something to keep the earring whole in the ear open. Otherwise, it'll close up very quickly. So little girls will go out wearing just threads in their ears to keep the hole open. Now, these are not decorative, really. They may be a little decorative, but you're certainly not going to take them out to show them off. So there's no chashash. Avlo b'chabakim shebetzavareyem, however, you cannot to go out wearing a chabak, which means it's tight around your neck. And if you're telling me that this is also made out of material, same thing as the ritual we were talking about. If you're telling me, don't worry about the neck, nobody's going to tie it so tight. So then what's wrong with chabakim shebetzavareyem? There shouldn't be any problem, because even if I would need it to be a tefillah or something, it would be loose enough for the water to get into, so am I low. Ravina, this is not talking about chabakim, the ritzuot. This is talking about a bib. And when you put on a bib, remember that until very recently, beauty in women was a question of how big bosomed they were and how much flesh they had. And the more fleshy they looked, the more beautiful they were. So a woman who would want to look beautiful would try to make herself look like she's got a big double chin, and so it's amazing how things change. So therefore she would attach, a bib always has the piece that goes around the back, and that piece they would put on very tight, because that way it would force up the skin of the neck to make her look fat, which is very attractive. And because of that, since Isha Choneket Atzma, the Nechalat Shetera Balat Pasan, she wants to look fat. And because of that, she keeps away from Pritikin. Well, maybe it was only women. Okay. Reb Yudah said, I feel that Semer and Sarah is not chotzit. Why? Because they're not going to prevent the entry of water against the hair. We paskin like Reb Yudah when it comes to ribbons that are made out of hair. But the Rabbanan never spoke about it. Tanna Kamma didn't say anything about hair. They only spoke about Semer u'Pishtan. Reb Yudah speaks about Semer and Sear. You're telling me we paskin like Reb Yudah and Sear, but where did the Rabbanan argue with him in Sear? I don't get it. When you say halacha, that always implies michlal de pligi. Obviously, there's got to be a machloket in order for you to paskin halacha. So where does it say that they argue? V'chitema, you're going to try to tell me, why would Reb Yudah all of a sudden start talking about Seyar unless he knew for a fact that the Tanna Kamma was arguing with them in Seyar? Maybe that's what you're going to tell me. V'chitema, if you try to say that he allowed the Shami Tanna Kamma to Arabic Seyar, if he hadn't heard that the Tanna Kamma extended the din even to Chutei Seyar, then why would he have mentioned it? Iunami lo habi mayre would be a complete non sequitur. We wouldn't have spoken about it. It's got to be that he heard it. That's not true. The point of his statement might be as follows. Kishem ka'amalu. He's trying to give a reasoned argument as to why he was matir tzemer. So he's saying like this, look, Seyar we don't argue about, right? Well, the same way you agree about Seyar, that it's hard, and therefore the water can penetrate between one Seyar and another. So why not agree with me also about wool? It may not be quite as hard as Seyar, but it should be able to penetrate as well. And in fact, Itmar, we do see that there certainly is basis for that interpretation of Abaya, and not like Rabbi Yosef said it, because Amrav Nachman Amar Shmuel Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Yehuda b'chut Seyar. Indeed, we find that there is a shita that says the Chachamim agree about chut Seyar, and there's even a brayta Tanya Nami Hachi chut Tzemer Chotzitzin chut Seyar in Chotzitzin. Here it says beferish that the Tanakhama says that we hold that Seyar is not Kotzitz, and Rabbi Yehuda says it makes no difference, even Tzemer is not Kotzitz. Shel Tzemer vishel Seyar in Kotzitz. Omrim Nachum by Yitzchak, you know what? If you look carefully at the Mishnah, you see that that's obviously the meaning, like Abaya, not like Rabbi Yosef was saying, Matitanami Deka, because the Mishnah says, Yotza Isha Bechute Sa'ar, Bein Mishalat, Bein Mishal Chaverta. A woman is allowed to walk out, as we're going to see later on, with these decorative or holding in place ribbons. No, these are ribbons that hold her hair. And it doesn't matter whether they're made out of her own hair or whether they, what they call these falls, you know, in the Kodesh Shaitel. Her own hair or somebody else's hair. Now tell me, who do you think this is going according to? I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is even if they tzemer is okay. So Kol Shekein if they tzemer is okay. It's got to be there for the Kodesh Rishis have to be the Rabbanan. Not a lot of Rabbanan. V'shma minav, which clearly proves to us that Bechut Yisrael lo pliga, they never argued for you to paskin halacha about these ribbons made out of sar, shma minav. Continues the Mishnah, and she should not be wearing a totefet. What is a totefet? Amar Rav Yosef, a totefet is chumrata dektifta. That is basically a little knot that you make of material that prevents an ayin hara. So it's more of a medical issue. I understand. I mean, she's not going to take that off to show anybody. So that should be like all types of kamiot. Kamiot are amulets. So they used to wear them for all kinds of things, against Ainora, against diphtheria, whatever. So they would wear a kamia that was made particularly for a particular disease, and if it was tested and it worked, it was called a kamia mumcha, then you're allowed to wear it. So it should be vetishter. Then why isn't it mutter? That can't be the meaning. Elam Revita Mishmed Abaya, I'll tell you what it is. A totef that is a puzaina, and that, as we said before, is something that goes from one ear to the next, across the upper forehead, more like a crown. Tanya nami hachi yotza isha bisvacha hamuzhevet. Here you see clearly, as we'll see, she could go out wearing a hat over her hair that has on it golden decorations and even a totefet or sarbitin. We'll talk about what that is in a moment, that are kvuimba, that are attached to the hat. So obviously, it is not referring to a kamiya. Who puts a kamiya in a hat, for heaven's sakes? It's got to be referring to some type of head decoration. So it hangs off of her hat. Since she's not going to remove her hat, because that would expose her hair, so therefore, there's no problem. And she would be allowed to wear it, even though we said a normal totefet that she could take off, that is also for her to wear, because it's a decoration, and it's her friend. Oh, wow, where'd you get that? And she'll take it off, and they'll start discussing it, and take a little walk while they're discussing it. And it's sarbitin. It's the same issue if it's attached to that, but what are sarbitin? Ve'ezu sarbitin. So what exactly is the sarbit? Omre be'abot, a totefet goes from ear to ear. That's what kefet lami ozen la ozen. A sarbitin hangs down from the side, and it gets down to her jaw. So it goes along the temple and goes to her jaw. It's basically the same idea. So if it hangs from the hat, either hangs horizontally across or vertically down on the side. And in both cases, if attached to the hat, she's certainly not going to take it off the Rosh HaTorah. Amar Ravuna, yeah, they do this. Even people who are poor, so they use colored material and they can't afford a gold or silver or bronze. So Aniyoto Sinotan Shominit Sivonim, and the women who can afford it, Ashiroto Sivotam Shoketsev Shal Zahab. Volobe Kavul. The next thing we said, she can't go out with a Kavul or Rishut HaRabim. We mentioned the Machlokas, Rashi, the Rambam. Well, it's only the Kavul that is Dafkal Rishut HaRabim, but in Chatzar is Mutter. All of the above were Mutter in the Chatzar. Anyway, what is a Kavul exactly? So, Amar Rabbi Yannai, well, I'm not sure. Now, we explained in the Mishnah the Kavul a little bit the way the Gemara comes out. But Rabbi Yannai said, Kavul ze ini yodei amar. I'm not sure, because there's two ways that that word is used. There's one way that's used as a kavla da'avda, that is a sign that is worn around like a band on clothing that indicates that the wearer is a property of somebody else, it's a servant, in which case it would be referring to a maid, and the maid, now obviously that's not a particularly wonderful thing that you want to wear, so maybe there's a chashash, I'll take it off and carry it, Rishus Rabbi. But maybe a kippah shel tzemer, which is the other use of the word kavla. So that is like a yarmulke, basically, and it's worn underneath her hat, and that prevents pressure against her head. Maybe that would be okay, because, I mean, she's not going to take off a kippah shel tzemer, because even though, yeah, she could pull it out from under her hat, but, man, what? You know, I mean, she's not going to start uncovering her hair. Or maybe even a kippah shel tzemer, it's not, because, I mean, she could pull the kippah shel tzemer out while leaving her hat on, and koshken a kavla da'avda, there's a bigger chashad that she'll carry it. Omer Rabbi Abo, well, I think it's bistavra, kamandi omer kippah shel tzemer, it's not. V'tanya nami achi, yotza isha bikavul ube'istema lechatzer. I'm going to talk about what that means. What we're trying to do is analyze by the context what that kavul must be. She can even go out with a kavul into Rishut HaRabim, because the general rule is, and here's the context, the general rule is, klal amar Reb Shimon Elazar, anything which is beneath a hat, koshu lamata min hasfacha, yotz inba, because she's not going to uncover her hair. And this is not normal to slip something out from under a hat. Obviously, that means that the kavul is under the hat, in which case it can't be a kavla da'avka. So it's talking about a kavul of tzemer on kippah shel tzemer on her head, and that proves, in the context of Rosh Rabbeinu Elazar, that that's the kavul we're talking about. Koshu l'mala min hasfacha ein yotzin bo. Meanwhile, you mentioned in the context of that conversation an istema. What is that? My istema. Oh, says Rabbi Abba, that's bizuni. That's a big help. What's bizuni? Amrav, that's kalya peruche. What that is a net-like thing which prevents the little hairs that often fly out. That's peruche, flying out hairs that detach from whatever braid or whatever it is that she's keeping her hair in place, and it gets out from under her hat. That looks really messy, and she doesn't want it exposed anyway. So it's a kalya peruche, and those kalya peruches are not made out of any type of good material. They're basically made out of a felt-like pressed material. And therefore, Tana Rabbana Shlosha Devarim Nemru Beistema. There are three special halakhot in different areas that have to do with the way these kaya peruches, istemas, are made. First of all, Ein Bamishum Kilayim. Since these are made out of raw pressed materials, they're neither Shua Tav even those. And therefore, they do not satisfy the requirement of the Torah's Isser of Kelayim. So even if they're made out of Tzemer or Pishtim, there's no problem. And secondly, Ein Matame B'Negoyim, because we learn out the two from each other. It says Beged by Kelayim, it says Beged by Negoyim. When we learn out Beged Negoyim from Beged Tzemer or Pishtim from Kelayim, we're over there, it has to be short of even notes. So it's not going to be Matame B'Negoyim. And the third thing is, you're not allowed to walk out without a Rishut HaRabim, which obviously according to the Tanna Kama, and Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru. It's not only that, but Einba Mishum Atarot Kalot, it even doesn't have the Gezerah Atarot Kalot, which is after the Churban Habayit, they said that Kalot shouldn't go out with these decorative Atarot. And this, even though maybe sometimes it's worn as part of the whole hair getup, but certainly it's not beautiful, and the only thing that they answered were these metallic atarot, which is part of special things like they do today, the Taimanim, or the Moroccans, they go out with these beautiful crowns, and that, you go to the chuppah, they go goes there after the korban, not to be yotzi with these kind of things. So, an exciting day as we begin a new parak again. And our president, who's now acting as a stand-in for Sabra Josh, would say, with what is it that a woman can go out on Shabbos? So here, actually, the problem is simply to define two issues. Number one, what is considered to be a tachshit? Once it's considered to be an acceptable tachshit, then it becomes part of malbush. It becomes a thing that you're wearing, in which case it's batel to your body, the way your clothing is. But there's another problem, just like we had by an animal, we had a number of other issues. The fundamental question is it considered to be a masui because it's not part of the tzorach b'yam, it's not batel to it. But even in occasions where we said it perhaps would be all right vis-a-vis masui, we also had the problem of maybe it would fall off. And then the person would carry it back. If it ended up in 4 amas away, we would carry it 4 amas for Shutrabim. Because of that, we made Gizerot. Now, by the behemoth, we had one additional consideration, which was the Chinga problem. It looks like you're going to market. That, obviously, we don't have by women, although nowadays perhaps one could suspect such things, especially in Israel, highest rate of white slavery in the world, but that's aside from that. We still have, by an Isha, an interesting additional problem, which is similar to the question we had by Behema of maybe it will fall off. And that is that a woman has a tendency to show her jewelry off. And so a friend will come along and say, oh, can I see that ring? She takes off the ring. This happens all the time. And then they keep on walking. And, you know, they're talking and walking and examining the ring. But it's Shabbos, and it's Rosh Hashanah. So what became El Dilma Atila Tuye Arba Amad B'Shut Rabim in the previous parak, because of an accident, may over here come because there's a purpose in removing it and then forgetting that you're not supposed to be walking around with it. Because of that, we have a very serious gzeira against wearing certain types of jewelry. Now, we'll see that any type of jewelry that wouldn't be removed, for whatever reason, it may be that an isha chashuvah doesn't show off jewelry. It's not, it's kitsch. What kind of people do that? Gauche. Then there's questions of the particular decorative, we say jewelry, many particular decorative devices attached to something that she wouldn't want to remove, like her shape or tickle or something like that. Also, we don't have any kind of problem. So we have a whole different set of concerns over here when it comes to Gemara Isha. So asks the Mishnah, what type of things are considered to be a tafshit, and what type of things aren't, and furthermore, what type of things are considered to be a chashash that she may take off and carry Bereshit Rabin, and what things are not a chashash?
It's still Dabashay Miskatan. She takes it off and walks with
it. Why is it Dabashay Miskatan? What you mean is it's a mitasek, is what I think is. So what type of things? Votei Tzeisha, lo bechutei semer, v'lo bechutei kishtan. Now, these are things that are often put into the hair, to decorate the hair. And indeed, the closing words, v'lo bechutei sheberosha, the word sheberosha refers back to all three things. And we'll see why there's a purpose of mentioning separately wool or flax, who cares, you say chutim or tzuot, or ribbons in her hair. And we'll see what the problem is there. And now what appears to be a non sequitur to the Mishnah in Shabbat, v'lo titzvol behen, not that we were talking about dinim of tefillah over here, for heaven's sakes, she shouldn't go to the mikvah wearing these things tied in her hair, because it would be a chatzitza. Ach terafim, she has to loosen them to allow the water to get into her hair. V'lo betotefet, you know, these are the women that are wearing tefillin all the time. It's actually, as we'll see, a decorative type of thing like a tefillin. And Rashi says in French, it's called a frontlet, just like the tefillin are called the frontlets. So it's a tzitz type of thing, which we make similar to tefillin anyway. Velo sarbitin. Sarbitin are decorative plates that come down along the side. It's often an Egyptian art that they wear. It comes down from the head. Now, it's often attached to a head covering, in which case there won't be a problem, because then it would be tafur. So in these cases, you're only going to ask if bismansha in non tafurim, where they're not sewed to her head covering. And very often, the woman would wear a net to keep her hair in place, And on top of that, we put whatever other hair covering decorations there are. That is called a sivacha. And attached to the sivacha were often a whole set. We find the Yemenites do this still. A whole set of decorative gold pieces or silver pieces. One that comes across the forehead, hangs down with the Yemenite filigree. One that comes across the, going down the temple, around the side of the cheeks. And this is still common. They decorate the kala with this when they make the whole celebration of the kala before the wedding. So at that time, you'd actually walk out wearing this. Very exotic, very attractive. And if it's not tafur to the svacha, then there's the chance you take it off to show it. Of course, once it's tafur, then there's not a problem, because you're certainly not going to remove her svacha. If you remove her svacha, her hair comes out and unfolds out of it in the street. She wouldn't do that. The lo be kavul, she should not work out with the kavul, but when it comes to the kavul, there's only a gezera about going into Rishut HaRabim. Whereas all the other cases, at least according to many Rishonim, the word Rishut HaRabim is a reference only to Kavul. No, fine. There's only a reference to Kavul. The others would be a gezera not to go out into a chatzer, which of course sounds awfully much like a gezera, the gezera. Don't go out to the chatzer, because you may end up going to the Rishut HaRabim. But the thing is that over here there was a single gezerah not to wear tachshitim that might be carried to Rishut HaRabim. It's not that it was done in steps. The idea is once she's going to be wearing this kind of thing, then the likelihood of ending up and sometime during the day walking with a friend Rishut HaRabim with it is so great that we don't want you out of the house. So in other words, don't go outdoors wearing these things that might end up being carried on Shabbat. However, the kavul we'll see as a thing that we don't have to be as koshesh. And therefore, the kavul, where only goes and not to walk out of Rishut HaRabim, if you hold, it's a reference only to kavul, then the point is that we allow her a kavul because it's such a fundamental, it turns out to be something like a kippa. It's such a fundamental decoration that there were limits that Chazal wanted to place on themselves to limit a woman's dress. It's important for a woman to be able to dress. It's important for her to be attractive. And so those things that are closer to being the type of things that are real begotten right up next to her skin or hair and so on, they didn't aser the way they asered external type tachshiti. Below the ear shall zahav, that is the famous ear shall zahav, the Yerushalayim shall zahav, that Rabbi Akiva made his wife. And it's actually Machlok Tosfos says later on that an ear shall zahav was a type of crown with the decoration of Yerushalayim on it. Rashi learns it's a type of pin. But Tosfos brings a raya that it's called an atara. And he explains that it's not included in the Gzeirah Atarat Kalot. The Atarat Kalot, which Chazal said you shouldn't wear after the Churban, Atarat Chatanim, Atarat Kalot, is Davka for a Chatanim Kala. Interesting. Same idea that we have today with the Cherem that was made against playing music at a wedding in Yerushalayim. So that playing music Stam was not the Gzeirah. Playing music specifically at a wedding. In other words, in the context of a Simcha, so then we Mumur Machmir. So you're doing the context of going to a wedding. Chassan and Kala, the Bedavka were machmer there. Normally, there's no Isra of wearing even an Atarai. That's a beautiful decoration. Velo biktala, nor should she wear, and we'll see exactly in the Gemara what a Ktala is, but it sounds very much like something that's going to choke her, because, I mean, a Katla is called murder. So now we say in English, don't wear a choker, you know. So in other words, we understand it's close. Velo benizamim, nor should she wear ring. We'll see that a nezer is a nose ring, actually, not an earring in the context of the Mishnah. And not even in a non-business woman's ring, which I think was okay. A tabat sheyesh b'achota is what people normally wore to seal things. It was a backwards impression. So when you pushed it into sealing wax, it came out with your name or with your symbol and so on. And people would wear this min hastam as a way that you seal the document. That is stamos there on Shabbos. It's not tachshit as well. But even one that's not a sealing ring, but it's a decorative ring, which you would think would be okay, you shouldn't wear because of the problem of showing it. V'lo b'macha she'ina nekuva, even though this is a macha she'ina nekuva, is clearly not a sewing needle, it's a decoration. We call it a pin, basically. We still call it today a pin. So macha she'ina nekuva is a pin. Not to wear a pin because it can be removed to show. And therefore, in all of these cases, in yatzen, if I have a chatat, obviously, because all of these things are only a gezerah. The gezerah of takshit, that yama atila tuyeh. If it would be a real machat, then it would be chayav to chatat. Says the Gemara, wait, what is this business about? Going to the mikvah? Who is talking about tefillah in the middle of a Mishnah on dinim of Shabbat?
I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I'm a Rabbi Bar Avuah, you're missing the whole point. The Mishnah is telling you the reason that a woman should not be wearing these hair decorations on Shabbat. Matan ka'omar. The Mishnah is trying to explain to you, matan lo tetzei isha, lo b'chutei tzemer v'lo b'chutei pishtat. These are certainly not things that a woman is going to take off with her hair to show. So what possible problem is there in walking with them on Shabbat? Ah, because since there is a standing halacha, forget about Shabbos, even b'chol, she'amru chachamim b'chol, lo titpol behem ad trafim. She has to loosen them. She's going to the mikvah. Okay? If that's the case, given the b'chol, meaning even b'chol, lo titpol behem ad trafim, we made an inclusion of such things in the gezerah of tachshit on Shabbat, because what if she's going to the mikvah today? And if she would be, she'd have to loosen them. And if she loosens them, she may end up carrying them. So it's all part of the same old rabbi's even though it's not really tachshit-oriented, but it boils down to the same thing. So therefore, given the b'chol, lo titpol behem ad trafim, b'shabbat lo tetzei dilem v'tirami lo tefillat shal mitzvah, v'shar yelohu, she'll loosen them, v'yat ala tuyinu arba amot p'rashut harapim. The same old gezerah. You'll notice how many, many issues, including reading the Megillah on the Shabbos Purim, blowing a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, a lulav on Sukkot, on all of these halachas, based on gezerah for the least of the malachot, specifically, because of that. Once again, this ties into the strange image that is becoming more and more clear that Shabbat is all about Hutzah. Because as we've seen, all the Lamatet Malachot are just thrown in there into our mission and they're buried in the middle of the Dinam of Hutzah. And the excuse that Tosis gives for why we begin the Sefer Hutzah is beginning to look awfully shabby. Well, we begin it because we want to talk about Erev Shabbos and not walking out, so everybody tell you, I mean, come on, man. We're at the sixth parak and we're still talking about Hutzah. And all of the other issues that we're talking about, including the things that don't seem to have anything with Otsa, end up being all about Mukta. And Mukta is only a gezerah because of Otsa anyway. So, what? And then we have all of these things that are gezerah. Maybe you'll end up coming to carry. I mean, this carrying business, you know, Adayom Hazeh, it's become like the issue, you know. Do you go to a shul that allows an Arab in London or not? I mean, people marry or break Shidduchim based on this question. I am not exaggerating. Truly not. As a matter of fact, I'm understating the gist. Look happy. I'm telling you important things. That's a nice thing to hear, too. I know. All right. So therefore, we've got a problem because it's tefillah that boils down to the same issue as the Arba'amot Pirshut Rabbi. Boy, mine Rav Kahana Mirav. Tiki Chalilta. My. How about questions of if you've got these ribbons you put in your hair that are made out of like very loose woven threads. You know, you can't pull them tight. If you pull them tight, the whole thing starts to fall apart. So it's like a decorative loose. You've seen these, right? It's like it's wrapped around itself. Long. Am I making sense? They're like ritzuos, but they're a circular, long circular thing. You can't pull them because the whole thing goes out of shape. You don't have little girls like that. No,
it's like a bracelet, loose
sleeves. Yeah. So, but instead of being one piece, it's sewn.
It's a sleeve.
So that you can, it's like you can look through it. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can't pull it because it's very, you know, you'll just have all the threads being pulled tight and it looks ridiculous. So basically, it's something that is chalil, that's chalul. It's empty inside. It's round and empty, a long round and empty tube like thing, which is made out of threads. No, just for decoration. You tie your hair with it. So, I mean, is there a problem with that? Because, I mean, certainly you can't pull it tight enough to prevent water from entering, in which case it really wouldn't be a chatzitza even if you went to the mikvah wearing it. And since the whole gezerah over here of these hair decorations is only because of the mikvah, then this type of thing maybe is not a problem. Or Malay, so he said to me, it's not getting so complicated. Or you can't, you're talking about something that's woven. I don't care about this particular tzura. Koshuari logos. Anything woven, there's no gezerah on, because it doesn't get tight enough up to the hair to be chotzer, and therefore it's not a problem. So I'm going to send my little girl all alone in the airport. Yeah, everything okay? Okay, sweet girl. Listen, I'm in the middle of shiur, so you call home and say goodbye to Ima, okay? Love you too, sweetie. Itmar Nami. Om Rav Nebreder of Yeshua. Koshuhu Arig Lo Gazru. And indeed, we find the same thing quoting now, Ravuna rather, Paskini, anything that is woven is no gezerah on Shabbat, because there's no problem taking out here if you want to go to the mikvah. The Ikeni Adin is another lashon that says a little bit differently, in which Ravuna Breder of Yeshua
You said there's no problem taking it out of your hair.
You don't need to take it out of your
hair. You don't need to take it out.
There was no problem of thinking you would take it out of your hair. Okay. By the way, I want to point out that Tosis, it's a very interesting Tosis. It says any of these type of decorations that are actually woven with the hair, as opposed to just tied onto the outside, is not a problem. Because when you make a braid on Shabbat, you don't undo the braid. If the braid was made before, because since you're not supposed to be making the braid, they don't loosen braids either. Right, so it's seen as the same gazelle. They'll make a braid, they'll loosen a braid. Therefore, there wouldn't be a chashash in going to the mikvah with it anyway. So it's not a problem. We're talking about things that can be loosened, can be removed on Shabbat. It's not. Yeah, but there's no chashash that they would untie it to go to the mikvah, because on Shabbat, they don't untie it. Since you don't make it, you don't unmake it. It's like stira. Whereas if you view kliyah as binyan, so don't go to the mikveh. Wait till after Shabbos to go to the mikveh.
You undo a braid?
A woman who is wearing a braid is obviously not intending to go to the mikveh on Shabbos.
She has a braid on.
So in other words, if she's wearing it, there's not a problem. But it's going to be undone. Ikanyam and others report Ravuna's psak as being very personal. He wasn't saying there's no gezeira on an ori. He's just simply reporting from his own observations that there's no problem of katzitza, according to this law. So, Ikanyam, I'm referring to Rav Yeshua. Chazina lachvati, I saw my sisters, the Lord Captain Elijah, they would take showers wearing this thing. Now, no woman's going to take a shower with something that prevents the water from getting into her hair. Why wouldn't they have removed it? So apparently, it's like so loose. If you could take a shower with it, you can go to a mikvah with it. So he was just reporting his own impressions. He wasn't saying there's no gezeira. Well, is there a difference? Am I Ikemen Hakmishna and Hakmishna? What difference is there between these two Lashonot? There's a big difference. Ikemen Al, for instance, let's say they were dirty, okay? They're Tanitha. So if they're dirty, so I mean, certainly a woman is not going to have something dirty to go into water and then have the water mixed with the dirt and get her hair muddy. I mean, that's it. So over there, the practicality is that she will remove it. So if you're telling me that it's in terms of an overall gezeira, when it comes to ori, they weren't gozer. They're certainly not going to sit and analyze a particular, but what about this case? It's dirty, so remove it. That's not the way gezeira works. Gezeira works in categories. Okay, so he's saying they weren't gozer on ori. If it's dirty, it doesn't make any difference. There's no standing gezeira. I'm not gezeira because you think it's a problem. Mashenkin, if he's just giving you his impressions, it's not that there's a general halacha that anything oruk is not a problem. It means you're supposed to deal with it on a case-by-case basis. I noted that my sisters used to wear this thing in the shower. They certainly didn't wear dirty things in the shower, so then in Enoch Yarni, then it would be included if it was dirty. That would be enough to me. So Mahat Lishna, the Amit Mishum Kveda, if the problem is that his sisters either would or would not wear it, so even the Tanifa, if something is dirty, then it's Kveda. Mikvit Kapit Alayon, they would remove it. Ashenkin, if it's an overall din, in that there was no such gezeira, then there's no such gezeira. Now, Tzanhat, when we have the list of the various things in Mikvaot, we've spoken about this Mishnah earlier, about Eluchot Tzim B'Kelim and Eluchot Tzim B'Adam. So this is the latter part, Eluchot Tzim B'Adam. Following things are a chatzita on a human, and it lists Chutei Tzemer, Chutei Pishka, V'Haritzuot, Sheberoshei Habanot. Okay, now that's very consistent, right, with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah should go out with those things. Because those are the things that, if she needed to go to the mikvah, she'd have to take it out. So the Mishnah in Mikvaot is saying the same thing, basically, that our Mishnah is adding here. Now, what's interesting is that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shel Tzar, Shel Tzemer, Shel Se'ar, Ein Chotzim, B'Dei Shamayim Ba'im Behem. Although the Tanakhama holds that Tzemer is something that is also Chotzeitz, says Rabbi Yehuda, no, wool isn't Chotzeitz, because water can easily penetrate wool. For that matter, hair is also, sometimes if she's wearing, sometimes you'll make a braid out of hair that's not attached, you know, to make it look like her own hair. You know, so she'll grow a long braid or something and attach it afterwards, make like a fall. So hair is also not chotzeitz. Mipnei shamayim ba'im behem. Now, the Tanakhama never discussed hair, so we're going to have to see what is he responding to when he says hair, since nobody's talking about hair. We'll talk about that later. But we find now, for the first time in Machloket, as to whether the tzemer is considered to be a chatzitza. Now, comes along based on this. It says, Ravuna, now, by the way, says Ravuna, when it says the word Sheberoshei Habanot, that's not only a reference to Ritzua, it's a reference to all of the above. So when it says, that means Kulam Beroshei Habanot Shaninu. Note, please, that the point of the Mishnah is only where it's on the head of a girl. Now, this is a little bit absurd. I mean, in our mission, you're talking about in the mission. I mean, you're talking over here about something that's going to be for saints. What else are we talking? What do you mean? In the head of a, as opposed to what? The cow? Or as opposed to what? In her mouth? Well, what exactly are we saying? So when you say Baruch Shabbanot, what do you mean? Marki Baruch Yosef, what the heck is your, are you trying to tell me? Lemute Mari, what? The head and not the what? Elang Lemute Sabar, you're telling me. Only if she's wearing it on her head. But if she's wearing it around her neck, let's say so she has now something tied around the neck. Which case? Which case around her neck? Demai. You let me know take semer. If you're telling me, well, semer around the neck would not be a chatzitza. What? If rak agabe kasher is chatzitza, if wool is a chatzitza around hair, which is hard, and therefore less likely for it to be able to be squeezed tightly up against the semer, because after all, that's the definition of hard, right? That doesn't squeeze as well, okay? So then, ikoshikain, to put semer against the skin of her neck, is certainly going to be a chatzitza, because over there, it's much tighter. So why would that not be a problem? So that can't be the thing. Ella, what is it talking about? Hashta racha gabi kasher chatzitza. I mean, racha gabi rakbi boy. Ella what? Mu'ute chute pishtan? What are you telling me? That the pishtan? Now, pishtan is itself hard. So tell me. Pishtan on sear is a chatzitza, but pishtan on skin is not a chatzitza. No. Kasha gabi kasher chatzitz, where you have more water that can leak in. The kasha gabi rakmi boy, you understand? So the kosher can, with the gabi rak, we have even less leakage. So if it's around her neck, why wouldn't it be a chatzitza? Elam abyes, I'll tell you why. Yeah, you forgot something. You're only talking about the materials, aren't you? You'll notice that when you put a ritzua around the hairs don't choke to death. But if you put a ritzu around your neck, the woman does choke to death. Maybe that's the issue. Hmm? So the point is, I time to for shangy shark or negative. That's about very simple. A woman doesn't choke herself to death wearing these things.
Let's look. Good.
It's got to look good. We'll see. That's true. So therefore, that's the difference. It's not a difference in the material of hair versus skin. It's a difference of how tightly you have to be crocheted that it's going to be connected. Since it's around her neck, we assume she gives herself enough breathing room. So that that same breathing room is going to allow water to get in, and therefore there's no chashash of a chatzitza. Eisei abaye habanot yotzot b'chutin shebozneihem. Here it says that girls are allowed to go out wearing a string of some kind of what often happens. A little girl, you would make a hole in the ear, but you don't want to put in a gold earring yet because they're too little to take care of it. So you put in like a decorative string or something to keep the hole open until they get old enough to wear an earring. So here it says, okay, the chutin sheba oznehem, they can wear. Avolo b'chabakim shebetzavareihem. They can't wear the chokers. Chabak is literally something that hugs you tightly. We'll see that it means not a necklace, but it's I was going to talk about precisely what it looks like, around their necks. Now, according to what you just said, anything that's around the neck is not going to be a chashash, right? Because she's not going to put it on tight. So, what is the problem exactly about the chabakim shebetzavareihem? A milo. Omer li anani, you don't get it. A chabak is talking about a ketala, or which lamaisa is, and what they used to have, is what was essentially a bib to protect the clothing, but it was very pretty. In other words, it was a type of decoration she wore along the front, similar to the type of thing that a man wears when they under a tuxedo. He's got this little front piece, you know, that goes over the shirt sometimes. So this was a ketala, and what it has is it's folded over on the top, has a piece of string going through it so that you can tie it tightly around your chin. Now the thing is that, of course, in most of human history, until very recently, it was considered to be attractive to be plump and very not attractive to be skinny. This is, of course, part of our evolutionary makeup. We are interested in finding women that can have children and nourish them, not women that really are not capable of reproduction. In most people's minds, you usually... Yeah, exactly. In most people's minds, you associate subliminally a woman that is fatter with a woman that is more capable of nourishing a child. Note all of the Renard nudes and so on. No women are ever thin. They're not considered to be beautiful. In a unisex society, women have started to look like men. But the norm was that a woman would attempt to make herself look fatter. So therefore, the ketala would be very tightly tied around the neck in order to create a double chin or a triple chin effect, which was very beautiful. She certainly wouldn't loosen it because then everybody would see she doesn't really have all those chins. She's a skinny little runt who's only 40 pounds overweight. Never consider marrying her. Right? So there you're talking about a different issue. You're talking about a talal. We're over there. Okay. That's smart. There she does tie it very tightly, even though it's uncomfortable. But how else is she going to look fat? So the natal is basar. She's got to look like she's got a lot of folds of skin on her. No, so here the shaila is, since she will be choneket tatzma, so therefore, and, so you'll say, so I thought you said she's not choneket tatzma. No, but that's only where you're talking about something that is a thin ritzua. Over here you're talking about a ketala. So over there, it's a large area along which she's choneket tatzma. That doesn't hurt. No, it's a tie a collar tight, doesn't hurt. But to tie a rope tight, does hurt. So Mamela here, she does tie it tight. And in which case, Lechora, it would become a chatzitza. And therefore, for Tfila, she would take it off and might carry it. Now, wait. Now, there's a little bit of a problem here, as Tosis points out. Because the mashmaut of the sugya is very clearly that this is a chatzitza problem. But if it's a chatzitza problem, then Tosis is bothered by why it is placed at the end. Because the chatzitza issues are up front. Chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, ritzua, v'lo titbol. To start now talking at the end of, in the braita, now that's going to expand on these things, after you dealt with the issue of the chatzitza and started to deal with the problem of the decorations, maybe she'll take it off, then this should have been up front in the first part, not in the last part. This is really strange. Therefore, taina is the Rashba here, that Tosis brings, that a ketala is a decoration. And that the real problem is, maybe she'll take it off, and she'll show it. And we're not talking about one that is being worn, the way Rashi was learning over here, the whole problem is the chassid. So we're talking about it's worn loose. Okay, that's in the Mishnah. And therefore the ketala should not be confused with this case over here. So the lobi here shows a halobi ketala. It's not like the ketala here is mefarish b'gemara, as Rashi says, the ketala that we're talking about over here. Right, the ketala that we're talking about over here is one issue. The ketala we're talking about in the Mishnah is a davar shel noi, and over there is indeed a chashash she'll take it off. This thing she'll never take off to show it, because then everyone will see she's not as fat as she wants to be. Right? Okay, so now you'll taina that if that's the case, does it send himself, why not just say that this ketala is the ketala in the Mishnah? The problem is that it's decorative, and that she'll take it off. In other words, you've got a question. The question is, a woman doesn't wear anything tight. I just proved to you that a ketala can be either tight or loose. You come to a problem, say, and you come up with this whole thing that it's because of a chatzitza, it's a different ketala. I mean, why am I going like this? Just give a simple answer. We're talking about the same ketala that was in the Mishnah. Ketala is just decorative, loose, and never can be taken up. I mean, you seem to be creating a problem, and then we have to go out and answer the problem. So therefore, Tainus Tesfis, that the reason that the Gemara couldn't say that is because if you take a look in the Braita, it does put it together with Tfila. Habanot yotzot b'chutin sheba ozeyem, avalot b'chabakin sheba tzavareyem. Mashmah that the issue is over here, the chatzitza problem. So Mamela, we had to create a situation where it's an issue of chatzitza. So then Abaye's got, wait a minute, if it's an issue of chatzitza, so in other words, they're wearing it tight. I thought you said they don't wear it tight around their neck. Therefore, he needed to explain that we're talking about a collar-like affair, which is badaf for worn tight, as you said, it's going to look beautiful. And then, of course, we're going to, we'll risk a little death. It's not really painful, because it's wider. And so then we have two different ketalas. This is how the Rashba understands it. Rabbi Yudah Omer Shal Tzemer V'Shal Seyar In Chutzitzim Ibnei Shamayim Ba'imiyam. Comes along Rabbi Yosef, and he quotes Rabbi Yudah Omer Shmuel as saying, Halachak Rabbi Yudah, when it comes to Chutei Seyar are not a problem because they're not Chutzitz. Now, of course, the Rabbanan never said that they were, did they? It was Rabbi Yudah who raised the issue of Chutei Seyar. The Rabbanan never talked about Chutei Seyar. They only talked about Tzemer Pishtim. Asks the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye, what do you mean, Halachak Rabbi Yudah? What is that supposed to mean? Halacha mechlal de plige? What is there a machlokas about this point? Did the Rabbanan never say it? This is it. Looking in the wrong place. This isn't a mission in Mikvaot. You're looking in our mission. It's not brought in our mission. Halacha kareb yudah. Okay. So what? The Rabbanan argued on the Seyar. V'chitev, and maybe you'll say to me, well, now look, why do you think Rabbi Yehuda mentioned Seyar? I mean, he's not just bringing in something out of nowhere. I mean, look, if Rabbi Yehuda hadn't heard that the Tanakhama held the same as he did with Semer about Seyar, why would he have mentioned Seyar? What do you mean, why? Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe he was saying, look, Tanakhama, I noticed you never said anything about Seyar. Why? Because you know as well as I do that it's not Kotzex and no water can get in. Well, I got news for you. The same thing is true about Semer. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. In other words, in the same way, in the same way that you obviously agree with me when it comes to Semer, because you didn't mention it, why don't you agree with me also when it comes to Semer that it's not a Chatzitza? So therefore, we cannot say that the fact that he mentioned it already proves that he must have heard it from the Tanakhama. The contrary. Therefore, and here's a different gear that makes a little bit better sense, Ela modim itma. On the contrary, what was actually said was not that they said halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda, but rather modim chachamim Rebbe Yehuda. And in fact, that is precisely the way Rebbe Nachman quoted Shmuel, not the way Rebbe Yosef quoted it, that modim chachamim Rebbe Yehuda v'chutei se'ar. Tanya nami ochin, indeed, the Braita says, chutei tsemer chotzitzin, chutei se'ar ein chotzitzin. The Tanakhama himself say that. Comes along Rebbe Yehuda and says, neither are chotzitz. Both tsemer and se'ar ein chotzitzin. Says Rebbe Nachman by Yitzchak, you know, there's a Mishnah that makes it clear also, if you're Madayi, Matnitin Namadeka. Diktani, we'll see the Mishnah a little bit later on in our parak over here. Diktani Yotza Isha B'chutei Se'ar Bein Mishala Bein Mishachavarta. The woman is allowed to be wearing it's her own hair, friend's hair, whatever, a fall that's tied around her hair. Now, Mani, who's the author of that answer? What is it, Rebbe Yehuda? I mean, if it was Rebbe Yehuda, why would it say Yotzei Shevachutei Se'ar? If it could have said a better Kiddush, which is Yotzei Shevachutei Se'ar. It can't be Rebbe Yehuda. Therefore, it's got to be, even according to Rabbanan. Elalav Rabbanani, Vishmamina Bechutei Se'ar, Lo Plige, Shmamina. You see from here that indeed the Rabbanan agreed all along with Rebbe Yehuda. There's no problem with the Chatzitza on Chutei Se'ar. Chutei Tzemer, they hold is. And there's the Machlokes. The Machlokes is the Chutei Tzemer. Velobe tok tefet, my tok tefet, what exactly is that? Omer of Yosef, a tok tefet is a chumrata diktivta. Now a chumrata is a lashon in Aramaic. Yeah, but that's not the chap we're saying now. We're not up to there yet. This is the first chap which we're going to be doing. So Rav Yosef says, it's a chumrata. Now you should know, chomer in Aramaic means a nut. And we indeed say in English, that is a knotty problem, which in Aramaic would be chumra, difficult, problematic. So a knot. Now a knot actually was the way in not which, K-N-O-T. K-N-O-T. Now, in those times, the minute was that whatever particular thing you would be carrying around for whatever purposes on your persona, and the idea was, also until very recently, you carried around a deodorant simply to be able to breathe because of the horrific smell in cities. You would tie some smelling, good smelling thing, put it in a little knot around your handkerchief, tie the handkerchief around your neck so you could keep smelling. The same thing would be for medicinal purposes. So you wouldn't rub Vicks on your nose. You would put some eucalyptus or something in it, and you would tie it around you. So all such things were called chumrasas or kshorim. A kamiya is a kesher. As well, here the chumrata, what they would do is they would put various ingredients or amulets into a chumrata to ward off an evil eye, ktifta, pluck it out. Now, according to this, basically she's wearing this, so to speak, for medicinal purposes, because preventing an evil eye is what you need to do in order to be well. Right? And nonetheless, we're answering it, which is problematic. That's going to be the attack in the Gemara. You should know that because of this, Rashi learns that Dorshei Chamurot, we all find it more, Dorshei Chamurot Amr, which everybody thinks means people who are Doresh Chumra Inyone. Rashi says, no, it means people who expose the interconnectedness of Inyone, the knots of Inyone. So it means those who are dealing not with simply with knotty problems, but this is where I come up with my idea, that the nature of Agarata is the same idea, because agad means avud, just like the bus company. Something that is mu'ugad, so it's all wrapped up in a justice system. Agartha's exposure of the system of Dorshe Chamurot, basically. So you're always dealing with knots, with interconnections. Okay? So over here it means a chumrata diktivta. Or Malay Abayana, wait, if that's the case, it shouldn't be any different than a kamiya mumcha. I mean, we are matir wearing a medical kamiya, which has been shown to be effective, and that's considered to be part of your malbush. It's the way you go out on Shabbos. So why wouldn't you be allowed to wear this? But it should be the same thing. What's the chashash here? It's certainly not decorative. It's going to be taken off. Elam Rav Yehuda Mishpedi Abaye, I think it means something else entirely. I think that it means an apuzayna. And an apuzayna is exactly what our president showed us a moment ago, straight off of an Egyptian tomb. There you go. It's a frontlet. It cuts across the forehead, decorative. Turn it around here. And that's what it's referring to. Tanya Namiyach, indeed, the bride that makes that clear. It says, Yotz Isha Bisvacha Hamuzhevet. So the svacha was the net, the hair net. And that's a very important word throughout this whole sugya. And if it is itself, it's got on it various decorations. It's got gold hangings. Vitotefet. Ubisar bitin. Hakfuinba. And it has now the totefet, which is attached to the svacha, or it's got the sarbitin, which hang down on the edges, which also showed up in the picture that our dear president just showed us. And the Gemara explains, ezo totefet veezu sarbitin, which is precisely what Abaye had suggested before. On Rabbi Avu, the totefet is amukefet la ma'ozen ma'ozen, that extends across the forehead from one ear to the next. And the sarbitin are hamagin la'ad l'chagea. They hang down from the svacha and come down till the jaw. Women who can't afford the gold, they'll make them just out of, you know, colored materials or embroidery or so on. And ashirot osimotam shel kesef v'shel zahav. And whatever the case may be, as long as they're tied to the sevacha, a woman will not uncover her hair by pulling off her hairnet in the middle of the shul. Therefore, there's no chashash. Below the kavul, on Rabbi Yanai, I don't know clearly what the kavul is, because kavul is used in two different ways. A kavul means a kippah, which is kovel, essentially, the hair. So they could wear sometimes under the net. And you actually see these little, like, caps. We make it today with rubber caps for, you know, in cases where you're on stage or you're taking a shower or something. That holds the hair in tightly. So it might be that. At this time, it was a little decorative because they were matir and also the takshit anyway. So it might be that. But the kavul also means handcuffs, doesn't it? So it would be a brand on an Eved to show that he was, so to speak, shayach to so-and-so. They would often put a mark of the owner on the beged or even on the body that an Eved had. And it would show the brand of the owner. So it should be very clear that he's an Eved. So maybe it would be a reference to a shibcha over here, talking about a kavul, in which case maybe the issue would be that, well, she wouldn't take off a kavul like that, because then the master would suspect that she's trying to show herself as a free woman, and if she was caught, that wouldn't be very good for her. Maybe that's the issue. I'm not sure which one it is in the Mishnah. If it's kavul da'avda, it's not. But maybe kippah shel tzemer would be okay, because that she wouldn't take off. Odilma kippah shel tzemer tznan, and she can't wear that kippah in Rishut Rabin, but koshken kavul da'avda, I mean, on the contrary, kavul da'avda, but she doesn't want people laugh at her if she's wearing a kavul da'avda. So maybe that they would have answered. I mean, so for sure. Amrei de Abu, I'll tell you. Mistavik man yom kippah shel tzemer. It's probably, in the Mishnah, a kippah shel tzemer. The Tani Nami Achin, it seems also, if you take a look at the Braita, that's the case. Because the Braita says, Yotza isha bekavul ubeistama, and we'll get to see what an istama is, into a chotzer. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, you can wear the kavul into a shusha rabin. Not even to worry. As a matter of fact, Kalal, I'm Reb Shimon ben Elazar saying, Kosha lemata minasvacha yotzin bo. Anything that is worn beneath the hairnet. Now, obviously, it's not a kavul da'avda, but beneath the hairnet is a kippah shel tzemer. There's something put on a tight kippah. Above it is the hairnet, on which are attached the frontlets and all of these other things. So therefore, it's clear from the context that Reb Shimon ben Elazar is talking about a kippah shel tzemer. So if it's lemata minasvacha, you can go out even to Rishut Rabim. And kosher lamala min asvacha ein yotzimbo, because then it can be removed without exposing the hair. So it's talking about a kippah. You can wear the kippah in Rishut Rabim in the chatzar. Don't go out to Rishut Rabim. Shimon Elazar says you can even go out to Rishut Rabim. Now, you mentioned, by the way, a curious word, istama. What is that exactly? Istama. Om Rabbi Abu, an istama is a bizuni. Oh, that's a big help. My bizuni. Om Rabbi, Om Rab. Well, let me look at the word. I mean, a bizuni is a kalya pluchi. Well, in other words, it prevents embarrassment. So it's kalya pluchi, just like it's a kalya orev that prevents birds. Pluchi sounds like birds. But flying hares are sort of like birds. They get away from you. So if you're trying to cover your hair, you know, and there's like little hairs sticking out all over, flying out. So, well, you go crazy. What do you keep doing? You're poking your hair. What they had was a little felt piece that would go around, that you twist it, and that would prevent any of the hairs from sticking out at all. And that was called a kalya pruche, preventing flying hairs, which is called a bizuni. And that's in the Aramaic, an istama. So now, man, shlosha dvar memra bi istama. In case you were curious, there's three very important halakhas that are said about istama. Ein ba mishum kilayim. First of all, it's made out of felt. And therefore, there's no kilayim on it. Now, because it's not tavui. Felt isn't tavui. Tosfos says it's very sweet, but nonetheless, we know there's a gzeira on felt. So that's not, Rashi's only giving you half of an answer. Because you're not supposed to wear felt, b'chatchila, that's kilayim. Therefore, says Tosfos, it's not a beged because it's hard and harsh. There's no gezer against wearing something that is tough and unpleasant against your skin. That's not called derech malbush. So where we have lebed, a felt, which is a hard felt, it's not a problem. The other issue is that it's inam etam v'negayim, for the same reason. Because we know that the beged kilayim is the same beged kilayim shadnez, has to be the tabui, in order to be able to be makabel to misnagayim. The in your team ba'al reshut harabim, you also not allowed to go out and reshut harabim with it. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, af in ba mishum atarot kalot. There's no problem if you're making an atara and you have an additional decorative piece, which is an istama. The istama is not considered to be part of the gizera of atarot kalot. You certainly wear that, even if you're a kala, and you wear this pretty golden felt thing underneath. That's not a problem. You can't wear the fancy crown because of the churban. Zeicha lechurban. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, yeah, I disagree with you. I say the kabla in the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Abu says that it's a kippah. It is in fact a kabla of a shivcha, and it's a whole different issue over here. How could Shmuel say that? But Shmuel was the one who said that an eved is allowed to walk out wearing a chotam as long as it's on his body, the chotam being a kavla de avda, and they call it a chotam because it was made, basically they would take clay, use the stamp of the owner, so they take clay, put a piece of string in it, clamp it shut with the ring of the owner, so it had on it the simon of the owner's personal signature that he would use in documents, would be around the eved's neck, and that's not a problem. To carry on Shabbos. Avalo b'chotav shebik suto, not on something that would be on his clothing. So, I mean, why is that when it comes to the Mishnah, he's saying, don't go out wearing a kavla de'avda, meaning a shivcha. But and when it comes to the Eved, he was saying it's okay. Well, look, Kasha. How the Eved like Rabbi, how the Eved Yulanash, it's a big difference. If this kavla was made by the owner, he's not going to remove it because he sees the owner does not want him going around looking as if he's a free man. He's afraid to take it off. Somebody may spot him and squeal on him and so on. So therefore, what's the chashash? He's going to be carrying it. He's going to be wearing it. But if he makes it for himself as a decoration, and he figures, boy, he's really going to like me now. I mean, look at this. So there, he's not afraid to take it off. So therefore, maybe that explains the difference. Okay. Same thing.
Or
oh, why? That's indeed a question. Why would we even consider that we'd be talking about a kavla d'avda if the whole? I mean, then we say, and it's a kavla d'avda, of course, to a woman of it. So it's a kavla of a shifra. Because why would we include it in this whole thing? Why would it be included with the list of women's things, not the uniquely women's things? Tosis is bothered by this. What's the hava mean it to say that it would be a kavla d'avda? So Tosis gives an explanation that's based on the Mishnah later. In which, since we're going to introduce the Mishnah later, the question of wearing a kavul with, or a peah nochrit, therefore, and it needs to mention both together, there it mentions it perhaps over here also. Maybe. But that we'll have to see later on to see what the logic of that is. But indeed, this is a serious question. Mechor, it's not a takshit mashim. It doesn't belong here at all. Okay, so now let me just get it straight. But my okim to Shmuel, you're now saying, what's the case according to Shmuel? The Ovad le Rabbe, the Odon made for him. So if the Odon made for him, and he's afraid to take it off, then why is he not allowed to walk out with the Chotam Shabik Suta? I mean, no matter what, if he's nervous, he's not going to take it off, right? So my love, I'll tell you, because Vilma Mifsak, suppose it breaks, okay? If it breaks, he's very nervous now, because he may be accused of attempting to show himself as a non-Ebed. So what he does is, Umikpale, he takes off his talit, and he folds it over his shoulder so that it shouldn't be noticed that it broke off. And in doing that, he's going to be Machat Hayakat, he'll put it over, and he's going to make pretend he's hot. And he'll just manage to fold his talit in a way that no one will notice that it has a broken kotama. But then he's going to be carrying the talit. So if you would be wearing a talit, but you're not wearing it normally, you're wearing the talit the way you do when you first walk into shul and you're checking the chutim, that's not called wearing a talit. And if you walk out in Rishut Rabin, you would actually be over in a Siddhiyoraita. Therefore, it makes sense to make a gzera not to wear this type of thing at all because of the likelihood that this might happen. Anyone who works for the Reish Galuta should be careful, as the Rabbanan used to show themselves as being shayach to the table of the Reish Galuta, would wear a symbol, a little badge of the Reish Galuta, as if the badge would break. So what were they going to do on Shabbos? It was a chashash that they would indeed do this. So therefore, Tainet Shmuel to them, you're not allowed, none of you guys are allowed to go out with these things. Except for you, Rebchina Bar Shima. The Lokapiala for the Reish Galuta. This is again Shmuel's whole shita, that it's a function of who makes it, as if you're wearing it voluntarily, or you're wearing it because it's expected that you better wear it. So you, they're not makpid on you that you don't wear it. So no melech, there's no chashash, because that's similar to the case of making it for yourself. Yaakov Sholir v'kayam, and then you're going to walk out. That's a different kind of life. Huh?
Yeah.
No, that's life. Okay, Dachman Zayin. Bamoi shayotza, bamoi na yotza. Lo teitze isha lo bechutei tzemer, lo bechutei pishtan, lo britzu ot shbrosha, lo titbol behem ach terafim, lo beto tefet, lo besar bitin, bizman she'inat purim, lo bechavul rishut rabim, ולא בעיר של זהב, ולא בקטלה, ולא בנזמים, ולא בטבעת שאין עליה חותם, מן איבן שאין עליה חותם, ולא במחת איבן שאין הנקובה, ואם יצאת, אינה חייבת קטעת. תפילה, מה דרך השמה? אמר רב נחמן בר יצחק, אמר רבא בר אבוה, מה טעם אתה אמר? מה טעם לא תצא אישה לא בחוטי צמר ולא בחוטי פשתה? מפני שאמרו חכמים בכל לא תטבול במד שטרפיהם, וכיוון בכל לא תטבול במד שטרפיהם, בשבת לא תצא אלא, דילמה נתרמי לו תפילה של מצווה, ושאר ידעו, ונתתי להתריע 400 רשות רבים. בואו מיני רב כהנא מרב. Tiki Khalil Tamay. I'm like, Ori Kamet? Koshu Ori Glogazu. Itmanami Amravana Breda Yeshua. Koshu Ori Glogazu. Or, Ikriyami Amravana Breda Yeshua. Chazina Lachvati. Delokati Alayim. Maikiben Akhlish Rabin Akhlish Rikan Adel Tenifa. Lahakhlish Adyama Koshu Ori Glogazu Saninami Aru. Lahakhlish Danim Shum Kpeda. Kimon de Tenifa. Mikbet Kapit Alayim. צלנחת, אלו חוצים באדם, חוטי צמר, חוטי פשטה וצורות שבראשי הבנות, רב יהודה אומר, לא, של צמר ושל שיער אין חוצים, מפני שהמים באים בהם, אמרו נבקולון בראשי הבנות, שאני אומר, מה כאילו רב יוסף אמרו, as opposed to what? ונילה מלמות את הצוואר, ודמי, מלמות את הצמר? אם רק אגבי קשה את חוצץ, רק אגבי רק בשביל את חוצץ. אלא למהות את החוטי פשטן, נו, אם קשה אגבי קשה את חוצץ, קשה אגבי רך מבוי, אלא אמר רב יוסף, אני תן רבונה, לפי שאין אישה חונקת את עצמה. את והבעיה, is that true? It says, הבנות יוצאות בחוטים שבאוזניהם, אבל לא בחבקים שבצוואריהם. According to you, he אמר, and this is clearly because of חציצה, as it's otherwise put together. So Iyam, according to you, any shachon neketatzma. So why chabakin shebetzavareim? Why is that a problem? I'm like, well, Rabbeinu, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a ketala askina. We're over there on isha ischo neketatzma. The nechala sheteraek ba'ala debasar. Imagine how many needless deaths we could have prevented by spreading this around. No, seriously. Sure, you know, wouldn't you think they have to be sick? Rabbi Yudomer, Shotsema, Vishal Seyar, and Chotzin, Mipne, Shamayim, Baim, Bem. Om Rabbi Yezib, Om Rabbi Yudomer, Shema, Allah, Rabbi Yudha, Bechutei Sar, Om Rabbi, what do you mean, Allah? Allah, Bechal, the Plige. Bechitei Milav, Bishmi, Amitana, Kama, Dairi, Bechutei Seyar as well. Then Iunami would never start it up with Bechutei Seyar. Not true. In other words, he's saying, "Ki heich the modit ali bechutei seyar, odeli nami bechutei tzema." Itmar Reb Nachman Amar Shmuel modim chachamim Reb Yehuda bechutei seyar. That's the correct approach. Tani nami achi bechutei tzema chotzitzin bechutei seyar in chotzitzin. Reb Yehuda Amar shel tzema v'shel seyar both in chotzitzin. Om Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the truth is matnit in nami deka. Diktani, yotza isha b'chutei seyar, bein nishala, bein nishal chavrata. Now I ask you money. Hilaim, Rabbi Yehuda, afi b'chutei tzema nami. El alav rabbanani, v'shmamina b'chutei seyar, lo pligi rabban, shmamina. Lo betotefet, my totefet, Om Reb Yosef, chumrata diktiv, tam leabai, nah, what's the problem with that? Tahavik kamiya mumche v'tishtere. El Om Reb Yehuda, mishmede abaye, Apu zainu, tani nami yaki yotza isha besvacha muzevet, ube totefet, ube savetina kuimba, which is which? Is it totefet? Is it sabidam revivu? The totefet is like the tefillin, it's mukefet la, miyozo noza, the sarbitin, or magiin la ad lechayeha. Om revuna aniyot osinota shal minayim tzivonim, Ashirot osim otam shav keser v'shal za'av. V'lo bechvul, Om Rav Yana kavul ze eni yodei amal, I'm not sure if it's a kavla da'avla, or maybe it's a kippah shal tzemer. If it's a kavla da'avla, then a kippah shal tzemer would be okay, because it's under the hair. Odilma kippah shal tzemer etznan, even that's not okay, v'shakramim. V'kol shekin a kavla da'avla. Om Rav Yavon nistavra kaman yom a kippah shal tzemer etznan. B'tani na meyach yotza isha b'chvul u'b'istam alachatza. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, af the kabul shut harabim, and it's clear from the context what he's referring to, because kalal on Reb Shimon Elazar, kol shuhula mata min hasvacha. What's that? That's a kippah shal tzemer. So there yotzim bo, kol shuhula mata min hasvacha, in yotzim bo. What's the istama? Om Rabbi Abu Bizyuni. Yeah? And what's a Bizyuni? Om Rabbi Amarav, it's kalya pruche. Turn around, but in Shloshad, Varim, Nemro, be Istama, in Bamishum Kilayim, in Matana Benegoyim, then Yotze Belushut Rabim, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru, Af in Bamishum Atarot Kalot. Shmuel says, I disagree. The Mishnah is talking about Kavla, means a Kavla, the Av, that's not. What? Shmuel himself says, Yotze Eved Bechotem Shabit Zavaro, Avalot Bechotem Shabit Zuto. No cash, other than Le Rabbe, he'd be marked on him, Adal Vidyu Lenavshe. All right, so B'mayotim told Shmuel. The other day, Rabbi, it's talking about, so then why not Chotem Shabik Suto Amaylo? Because Dilma Mivsik, Umirta, so then he'll fold it over. Umachet Le'at Katve, and that would be a tremendous Yitzhak, Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef, Rav Yitzhak Bar Yosef, Rav Yochran. Hayotze, B'talit, B'kupelet, Umunakat O'ak Tefav, B'Shabbat, Chayav Katat, Chayod Amal Yishmuel, Rav Chinin Abar Shila, Kulu Rabbani Devereish Galuta, because they'll be afraid to let the bar, let them, the Rishka Luta find out if it breaks.